This episode of the Mac Daddy Seminar is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is number one with providing you with tools for your family jewels. Look, y'all, it's 2020, and there is not a single reason you can give me as to why your downstairs looks like a fucking jungle, okay? It's ridiculous. You got to keep everything taken care of down there, and there's not a better way to do it than with Manscaped. With things like the Lawnmower 2.0, they got rid of the 1.0 because it wasn't getting the job done. The 2.0, I've personally used this thing myself. It is perfect. You don't nick your nuts or anything like that when you're down there shaving, making everything look nice. They also have things like ball wipes that help restore pH balance, make everything smell nice, nice and clean. And you might even get a visit from your significant other more often here in the new year. Everybody wants that, okay? Head over to manscaped.com right now and use promo code MacDaddy20 to get 20% off your first order. You can't beat that, y'all. It's 2020. Okay? Head over to manscaped.com right now.
Up a drink and I'll be down in two shakes of a lamb's tail.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Well, we don't give a fuck. The deal is done. Now the cake been baked. They need to come on with the drama, whatever they gonna do.
What's cracking, pimps? What's going on? And welcome to episode 23 of the Mac Daddy Seminar. As always, I'm your host, Taylor Dunn, and we have finally reached the end of the year 2019. It's the end of the decade, y'all. I mean, really thinking about it, so much has happened just this past year that was really the whole point of this podcast. Like, I don't have anything written down. I don't have any bullet points. We're just going off the top of the dome here. And we're just kind of doing a year in reflection. Okay? But, first thing I want to talk about is Christmas. Obviously, the biggest holiday of the year. I talked about it some on my last episode and my absolute hatred for the holiday. I still do everything I can to make it fun for my daughter. Okay? If you want more details as to why I really don't care for Christmas, go back and listen to my last episode. But I'm not going to go into that on this one, but, this year on Christmas, I decided to make it special. I tried to do it the year before, but she was a little bit too young to do it. She was very afraid of Santa Claus. Like, anytime I would play any type of, Santa Claus sound effect, she would get scared. So, I would play this sound effect on my phone. Just go on YouTube and type in, like, Santa Claus landing on roof sound effect. And it literally just plays a sound. It's like Christmas sounds outside, like, you know, snow blowing around. And all of a sudden you hear,
ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
And then they have him taken off again in a couple of seconds. Well, when I did it last year, it would freak her out. So we tried it again this year, and I've been planting seeds this entire time. I was like, you know, with the elf on a shelf that we had, that we told her, hey, you know, she's watching you. She's going to tell Santa that you've not been a good girl, you know, and that was actually a pretty good tool to get her to, you know, act right whenever she was being foolish. But we got around to the day before Christmas Eve, and I told her, like, hey, you know, Daisy is going to have to go here in a couple of days. And she wasn't sad about it. You know, she was like, well, where's she going? And I said, well, Santa Claus is going to pick her up and take her back to the North Pole. And she's like, Santa's going to come here? And I'm like, yeah, he's going to come here, and he's going to leave you presents, and he's going to pick Daisy up, and they're going to go back to the North Pole. So me and my wife devised this big grandmaster plan as to how we were going to do this. So what we did, I wish we had gotten it on video, but there was just too many moving parts for us to film it at the same time. But what we did was, so I put together like just any red clothing that I had. I used like a red Under Armour shirt. I have a red hoodie and like a sweatshirt that was gray. And all I had for pants was a pair of like pure red swim trunks. And I had some black leather boots with a black belt. And I bought a Santa Claus hat that had a beard attached. Like, it has a mustache and a beard. It covers your face for like $2 right around Black Friday. Well, I set all this stuff up, and me and my wife like came up with the plan. And basically what we did was, so on Christmas Eve, you know, we baked cookies for Santa Claus, and we laid out our, you know, our letter for Santa Claus, and I let my daughter write it. I posted a lot of the pictures on Facebook and on Instagram and stuff like that. Well, then we were like, hey, we gotta get a bath, gotta get ready for bed, because Santa's gonna come soon. And we kept like going out the window and looking to see if he was there and all this stuff. Well, when my daughter went upstairs and took a bath, I was downstairs getting everything ready. And I put all of her toys inside of a blanket, because we didn't have like an actual large sack like Santa Claus would wear. So I just used like a big blanket and bundled all of her Christmas presents up. First thing, let me give this disclosure. We let her open all of the Christmas presents from family members first. So there'd be some distinction between, okay, this is from Mama and Daddy, this is from Mimi and Pawpaw, you know, and all that, before she got Santa's gifts. Okay. So she opened all of those the day before. And now, you know, now that the Christmas tree is clear, now there'll be a big distinction whenever Santa Claus's gifts arrive. So back to the story. So I get everything ready and I tell Zaina, like, hey, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get everything set up, and then I'm going to come up and I'm going to read her the night before Christmas. And she was like, okay. So I told her, I'm going to read half the story, and then I'm going to act like I'm getting a phone call and I've got to go back to work for something. Okay. When that happens, I want you to finish reading the book, and then I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to get dressed. So I got dressed up as Santa Claus. I finish reading the book. You know, I go downstairs and I get dressed lightning fast. I'm wearing all these sweatshirts, you know, put this beard and hat on and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm just standing in the kitchen. And I go on YouTube and I type in the Santa Claus landing on a house sound effect. And I told my wife, like, hey, I'm going to text you right before this starts. And then it's going to play. Give me just a couple of minutes while y'all are like starting to walk downstairs, and then I'm going to say, are you ready once you're in position? And then I'm going to walk out. And we did it perfectly. Played the sound effect. I played it real loud on the TV where it was, you know, ho, ho, ho. And then, you know, my daughter, when she heard that, she was like, it's Santa. That's him. And she got all excited. And my wife brought her down the stairs. She was like, we got to be quiet. We can't let him know that we're looking at him. And so my daughter's like, okay, okay. So they're standing right at the bottom of the stairs, and it's looking into our living room. And I'd set the TV up to like have like a fireplace effect on it, just to kind of give it more of like a Christmassy feel, because we don't have a fireplace. And just as soon as they got there, I like walked into the living room and I made sure I like kept my face hidden from them. And I laid the toys out of the bag, and I could hear her whispering. She was like, that's Santa. That's Santa Claus. Like, she bought it. She believed it. My wife said she was shaking. She was so excited. And, you know, I went over and I acted like I was eating the cookies that she had left out. I couldn't actually eat them because the fucking hair from the beard was getting all in my mouth. So I just kind of crumpled them up and, you know, acted like I was drinking the milk and all that. And then, you know, once the toys were laid out and I drank the milk, I went over and I picked up Daisy, our elf on the shelf, and I like gave her a hug and I just heard my daughter go, "Oh." And she went, "That's so sweet. He's got Daisy." And then I just turned around and I told my wife, like, "Hey, when I pick Daisy up, go ahead and start going back upstairs because I'm done." And they listened to me, and then I played the Santa's exit. And then I, you know, I went back in the laundry room and I took all of my Santa Claus gear off and got everything ready. And, you know, I came back and I was sweating my ass off at this point. You know, and I took a couple seconds trying to cool down. And I came in. I even, like, pressed the button in the garage to, like, make it sound like I'd come back. And I come upstairs and I'm like, "Lily, you're not going to believe this. I just saw Santa flying over the neighborhood." And she's just, "Daddy, Santa Claus was here." And I was like, "What?" She was like, "Yeah, he was downstairs." And I was like, "I missed him." She goes, "Yeah, he was here. And he picked up Daisy." And like, she told me everything that happened and she was so excited. And then I was like, "Well, how are we going to get her to go back to sleep after that just happened?" So we told her a little white lie. We were like, "Hey, you know, if you don't go back to sleep, you know, Santa, he may come back and leave you more presents. So, you know, you may want to go ahead and go back to sleep." And she laid down and went to sleep. And that was it. And she loved it. I wish we had gotten it on video. Because, oh, it was so sweet. And she talked about it the whole next day. We were FaceTiming family members and everything. And she was like, "Santa Claus was here. And he did this, and he ate my cookies, and all this stuff." So we had a really good Christmas here at the Dunn household. But we still got our Christmas tree up. Still got all of our little knick-knack decorations that my wife insists on leaving up. These little creepy Santa Claus figures and nutcrackers and stuff like that. And I said, "You know what, we can leave them up till after the new year." And yeah, that's what we're doing, so... That was pretty much Christmas in a nutshell. But, yeah, man, I've had a lot of time off of work. I've really enjoyed it, too. Just time to sit around and just kind of... I feel like those last couple of days after Christmas leading into New Year's is like a good time for you to really get everything in order to start the new year right. You know, like... I've been trying just to get all of my comedy sets that I've been writing over the past couple of months together so I can really hit January hard with open mics and different shows. And I'll keep everybody posted on all of that stuff as much as I can. And, you know, even with some content coming out, I'm just trying to figure out the right way to do it. Because I have a lot of people who ask questions like, you know, "When are you going to post a stand-up video?" Like, they're coming, okay? I'm just trying to figure out the right way to do this because, like I've said a million times before, once you've seen my jokes, if you come to see me somewhere, you don't want to hear me say the same stuff you've already seen. So, with that being said, I'm just trying to get everything set up and put together. And I listened to one of my favorite podcasts. I highly suggest it, especially if you... You know, like people talking about comedy and the business of comedy, one of the absolute best ones out there, if not the best one for as far as like talking about the business of comedy, in my opinion, is Joey Diaz on The Church of What's Happening Now. And I listen to his podcast weekly. And his last episode really kind of struck a nerve with me because he talked about, you know, about being grateful for what you have and, you know, still having the drive to go after things while being grateful. And he talked a lot about how, you know, it's the year 2020 and how this is, you know, it sounds cliche to say, but this really is an opportunity for people to like start fresh, you know, like anything that's been dragging you down or you've been worried about, like don't bring that into 2020. Just think of it like opening a new business. You know, yeah, it's going to be a lot of hard work, but think about the excitement that comes with doing something like that. You know, so that really struck a nerve with me. I highly suggest everybody go listen to it. It's on, you know, Apple Podcasts right now. It's, I forget what number episode it is, but just look up Joey Diaz, and it's like the last episode that he posted. It was on Christmas Day, and it was a fantastic listen. I highly, highly recommend it. Yeah, man, like it really just made me think about this past year and everything that I've gotten the opportunity to do and to see. Like January 1st last year, of this year, really, I was in New Orleans. I went to the Sugar Bowl. I got to go to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium and watch the Sugar Bowl for the first time. Got to, you know, watch Georgia play Texas. And even though the team that I wanted to win didn't win, we still had a blast. What an awesome way to spend New Year's Day, you know? And then from that, yeah, I saw Matthew McConaughey there, you know? I mean, it was really cool, really a great way to start the year. And then from there, you know, I had a great birthday with all of my buddies. I did stand up a couple of times throughout the month of January just at local bars in Mississippi, and we all know how I feel about that. I'm not even going to go into that side story. And then, you know, I went to California for the first time with my buddy. Now I'm living out here. Me and him made a cross-country, you know, road trip to California. If you're interested in watching that entire experience, I have it posted on my YouTube. I think it's like episode 17, something like that. But, you know, I've managed to keep this podcast rolling for well over a year now. Now, I know I haven't been up to date on all of the episodes, and, you know, there's a little bit of confusion between, well, you stopped at like episode something when you were doing it on YouTube. I just wanted to change up the format and how this was done because I was just posting an audio file on YouTube. You know, I wanted it to be to where, you know, you didn't have to pull up YouTube and run it on your phone and not be able to do other things, you know, because I realize that's, I mean, I listen to podcasts and I might be scrolling through Facebook or looking at Instagram. I'm just trying to make it more accessible for people. But, you know, I went to California for the first time, made a road trip, saw things that I never would have thought I've been able to see, came back, you know, fully charged, ready to move out here. And then a couple of months later, we did move out here, which, I mean, that was a big step, man. Moving cross country, like, because we've lived in Mississippi for the past 5 years. Just being from Alabama, moving to Mississippi, that's no big deal. But moving all the way to San Diego was like, it seemed like it was going to be so difficult. And there's been parts of it that have been, I'm not going to lie. It hasn't been 100% stress-free, but for the most part, it's been good. You know, I mean, we really, really like it out here. We have enjoyed it. There's so much stuff to do. And we, yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but there's no end to what you're able to go pick to do during the day. The weather is great. I mean, we love it here. So when you're weighing the stress that came with the move versus where we ended up and like all the opportunities we have now, it really outweighs the bad. But I mean, it's just been wild. Like, me and my wife went to Gatlinburg for a week and vacation there. Like, I've seen so much stuff this past year. And I really don't even feel like I worked that hard to earn it. Like, I feel like everything is based on, like, did you, you know, were you worthy of having that? And a lot of times I feel like, why did I do this? I didn't work hard for it. I didn't, you know, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, I know that sounds really convoluted and mixed together way of saying it, but I don't know. I feel very blessed and appreciative of what I have experienced just this past year and really in just 25 years of life. You know, I'm about to be 26 on the 19th of next month. And, you know, I'm like, golly, you know, I really have had an opportunity to see so many things and experience so many things. And I'm just grateful, you know. It's really been a really good time. But I'm not trying to be all sappy or anything. I'm just, you know, kind of reflecting on, you know, it's the end of the decade. It's kind of crazy to think about. Like, in 2009, I was a freshman in high school, and now I'm 25 years old, about to be 26. I'm married. I have a 4-year-old, and I live in San Diego, California. I've been to Europe. I've been to Micronesia. I've been to Mexico. I've been to so many of these different places, and a lot of that's just happened in the last 10 years. So I'm really curious to see, you know, from 2020 to 2030, what's going to happen then. But I don't want to get on that note for too long. Just, you know, really sit back and think about all that you have. You know, I see a lot of people who are depressed this time of year, but I feel like this is one of the best times to sit back and reflect on what you can be grateful for. You know, around Christmas, whether it be family or just, you know, just grateful for personal experiences you've been able to have. If you're just grateful for another day, I feel like that's fantastic, you know? But yeah, okay, finally, I'm getting off of that subject. But yeah, during my time off, other than, you know, just watching movies, hanging out with my family, I've been playing the PlayStation a lot. I know it's kind of a guilty pleasure. But once again, Grand Theft Auto 5 got my ass with that new update. That casino heist that they put on there has eaten up so much of my free time and sleep over the past 2 weeks since it's been out. It's ridiculous. My good friend Fanning, who, you know, if you're a fan of this podcast or, you know, any videos or anything, you know about Fanning. We play that shit all the time. And, you know, we get on there and we run from the police together. And whenever there's some new update where we have to work together, that's when we really have the most fun. And, you know, with this one, you have the opportunity to rob the casino in the game. So the first thing you have to do is you have to purchase an arcade, which is about I think I paid like $1.5 million for mine. Didn't add any upgrades to it. I think I added like a personal sleeping quarters for what reason, I have no idea, because I have a house literally right across the street from my arcade. And, you know, I started the first heist, and I watched some YouTube videos because I didn't want to do it wrong. And we did the first heist. We did the one called The Big Con. I'm sorry if I've lost some of the listeners' interest with this, but I mean, I'm just talking about what I've been doing for the past week, and this is how it is. But we did that one, and it was so funny because it had all of these setup missions, and I was playing them all by myself. He's doing all these different jobs and doing the fun stuff, like just running from the police. And I'm just grinding these missions, trying to hurry up and get them done so that we can do the heist itself. You have to steal all these different cars and steal weapons and go get this computer chip from this like underground facility, all these different things. And then when we finally do them, we do the heist, and we failed that heist probably 12 times. before eventually figuring out how to do it and get the most money. And it was awesome. And now we're working on a second one as we speak. That's, I'm telling you, man, there has not been a game that has engaged my interest quite like the Grand Theft Auto series. I have played every single one of these goddamn games. But this one, Grand Theft Auto 5, that online has kept me on there for my entire adult life, honestly. Like, I bought it initially when I was, how old was I? I think I was 18, 19 years old when it came out for the 360. And I bought it, and I played the entire story, beat the entire story. And then it started with the online, and I just played it all the time. It was so much fun. There was so much you could do. You know, you can buy a house and all this different stuff. And now, you know, there's businesses you can run. I mean, it's easily one of the most intriguing online games I've ever played. I love it. I plan on playing it this evening. And every couple of months, they add a new update where there's new stuff to do, where you can start your own motorcycle club and you can start your own, you know, business where you trade things. And I mean, there's just literally no end to all the different possibilities. You can own a nightclub. I own an arcade now. It's awesome, man. I have a joke that I've been working on about this. I won't go into detail too much about it, but one of the craziest things is like how, okay, so Grand Theft Auto 5 is set in a fictional version of Los Angeles, but I'm here to tell you, it is almost identical. Like, when you come out here for the first time, you're like, I think me and my friend said that shit probably a million times the first time we came out here. Like, this shit looks just like Grand Theft Auto. I mean, everything. And especially going to LA, like, you can actually drive down the Sunset Strip on the game and find the Comedy Store. And literally, the buildings right next to it are the same. There's a couple of things that are different, but for the most part, everything is exactly the same. You know? I mean, it's ridiculous. But I just want to know how they're going to top that with the next season. In reality, that's what I want to know. The next game. When Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out, how in the hell are they going to do anything bigger and better than the last one? Because I just do not know how it's going to be possible. Are they going to have it where you can play in multiple cities online? Like, is it going to be as big as the United States? Like, how are they going to one-up everything from Grand Theft Auto 5? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I'll be there buying it the day it comes out. I mean, I had it like that with Red Dead. When Red Dead Redemption 2 came out, oh, I had that shit purchased the day it became available for pre-order. It was downloaded in my PlayStation the second it was made available. I played it. It's ridiculous, man. I don't know, man. I think that's just about it. We'll answer some questions before we end this episode. And we only got one. We got one question I just asked a little bit ago. I was like, hey, I'm recording an episode. This is your last opportunity, you know, to ask a question and it be featured on the episode. So if you don't hear your question being answered, it's just because you didn't send in a response in time. But I'll get you on the next one, I promise. In the first episode of 2020, I will answer your question. So Connor Heath, good friend of mine from high school, really my entire childhood, he asked, what's the biggest cultural difference between Alabama and California? This is a great question, Connor. Okay. I've answered this in different forms on here before, and I talk about it a lot anyways, but biggest cultural difference, I'd probably have to say I don't really feel uneasy around California people. And I guess I mean that in the sense of I don't really feel like people judge nearly as much as they do in the South. Like, yeah, it's very liberal over here, but you don't see it. There's this negative connotation. Like, I see it all the time. People post it on Facebook that live in Alabama. They're like, this is why California needs to be cut off from the rest of the United States. And every single video I see is about Los Angeles. I'm here to tell you straight up, Los Angeles is a really dirty, shitty place. There are some really nice things about Los Angeles, but there's also a lot that's bad wrong with it. Do they have a huge homeless population? Absolutely. Is it a problem? Yes. Can you also go see the Hollywood sign there? Yes. Or the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Yes. And everybody that says that, I'm like, you know where else is really fucking disgusting and dirty? Montgomery, Alabama. And if you want to argue with me, go to Eastdale Mall. Because nobody's doing that anymore. Go look what happened to Montgomery Mall. You know? Everybody moved out of that town and moved to the surrounding towns, and now it's happening to the surrounding towns. The biggest cultural difference, in all honesty, Connor, my honest opinion, is the problem with Alabama is there are people who are in the position to make laws who are letting their religious beliefs decide what laws get made. You don't have a lottery in Alabama because you're not supposed to gamble. Okay, all of the states around you do, and guess who's making all of that money from Alabama people? The Georgia lottery. How many people drive to the state line in Georgia just to buy a lottery ticket when they don't have anything to do on the weekend? Same thing for Florida. They go down to Mississippi. They go to Biloxi to gamble. And the same with Tennessee. All of these states that surround Alabama are just raking in all of their money. And Alabama, well, no, we just don't think it's, you know, it's something that we should do because of our beliefs. I mean, that's just my honest opinion, you know. And if you have a different point of view, you know, feel free to voice it to me, obviously in a manner that is civilized, because if not, I'm not going to argue with you. I'll just delete you. You know, I've spoken on this thing before on here, and I've had people listen to it and get upset and send me these really, you know, borderline evil messages because I've slandered the name of my home state, or I'm not proud of where I come from. I'm very proud to have come from Alabama. I feel like it, you know, it made me want to do something more with my life. For sure. It was a great place to grow up, but I just don't want to live there. And I don't know why. And that's another thing. Like, in California, it's all, a lot of people are just come from somewhere else. They came out here for a promise of a better life, and for the most part, I think a lot of them are getting it. San Diego is absolutely beautiful. I mean, we love it here. We don't feel judged. People are nice. I don't feel threatened when I go places at all. Like, I thought there was going to be this big, you know, it was going to be like criminals and illegals coming from over the border and stuff like that. And then I get out here and I'm like, it's not like that here. I figured people would be rude. What's misconstrued as rude is just people talking the way they talk. It's nothing to, you know, dwell on. So I hope I answered your question correctly, Connor. I know I kind of went off on a tangent and talked about several different things, but honestly, like, if you've never been out here, I highly suggest just coming to visit if you can. Stay away from the touristy areas if you can. If you must go to a touristy area, go during the week. If you go on the weekend, it's going to be difficult for you to move around. But if you go during the week, I'm telling you, you're not going to regret coming to visit. But I think that pretty much wraps this episode up, man. Once again, I really appreciate everybody who listens, who asks questions, who, you know, just shows support in any way. You know, this has been a great year, and I can't wait to really do more next year, honestly. Like, I have a lot planned, and all I can tell you guys is to stay tuned, because more content is definitely on the way. I know I always say I'll see you guys next week, but it just doesn't seem right. So I will see you guys in 2020, next decade. Y'all have a good one.
This episode of the Mac Daddy Seminar is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is number one with providing you with tools for your family jewels. Look, y'all, it's 2020. And there is not a single reason you can give me as to why your downstairs looks like a fucking jungle, okay? It's ridiculous. You got to keep everything taken care of down there, and there's not a better way to do it than with Manscaped. With things like the Lawnmower 2.0, they got rid of the 1.0 because it wasn't getting the job done. The 2.0, I've personally used this thing myself. It is perfect. You don't nick your nuts or anything like that when you're down there shaving, making everything look nice. They also have things like ball wipes that help restore pH balance, make everything smell nice, nice and clean. And you might even get a visit from your significant other more often here in the new year. Everybody wants that, okay? Head over to manscaped.com right now and use promo code MACDADDY20 to get 20% off your first order. You can't beat that, y'all. It's 2020. Okay? Head over to manscaped.com right now.